Hey guys, welcome to episode 28 of Inside the Cage with you. As always, trusty sidekick Mark, how you doing?
I'm good, mate, how are you?
Yeah, good. Good.
It's a weekend, wasn't it? Oh, fuck, by the way.
So for obviously, guys probably don't know an awful lot about us, but Mark's getting married the end of June and we were in Germany for his stag do at the weekend.
Cologne, what a sight, by the way, need to go.
And I think it broke us a wee bit, but I'm not going to lie.
I'm going to take me to the wedding to recover.
Yeah, apologize to me about that as well. You can even hear it in my voice. I'm a bit croaky.
I'm a bit very, very rough, Jonas.
A bit raspy, but hey, well. Yeah, if you're ever in Germany, go to Cologne.
It was what a place. Beer's brilliant. Absolutely superb.
Can't complain about it. Absolutely brilliant. But there's much bigger fish to fry other than your stag doing. We could probably talk about that for a while, but there's possibly two of the best fights we've seen in the last couple of years to talk about.
Oh, they were absolutely superb, weren't they?
Obviously, first things first, social media, guys, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, get us on all three, at Inside Cage MMA, Inside the Cage, as I've said, it's a massive blue saltire with Inside the Cage right across the front of it. Can't miss it. Give us a like, give us a share, follow, whatever it may be. Let us know what you think of the podcast, if you listen, if you download, really appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Okay, so, 236, go.
Well, there was a lot of meh in it, but some of the highs were incredible.
Yeah, some of the highs were amazing.
I don't even know where to start. You want to start with the big ones, or you want to just put our way through?
Oh, we're through the prelims. Special mentions. I mean, I don't think we need to talk about the two decisions because they were both pretty bog standard, to be brutally honest with you.
Well, Griffiths, I'm not sure 100% of it for a while, but I wouldn't disagree with it. It was a weird one for me.
Griffin's one was a strange one because it should have been 28-28, I thought, personally. Because I think Imadaev had two of the rounds, but he lost a point.
Yeah, he lost a point. Basically, for me, the point lost him the fight.
Aye, he had to knock him out. Or win all three rounds.
Aye.
He didn't win all three rounds.
No, he couldn't do that. After he lost the first round, it was pretty much fight over at that point, wasn't it? So.
Which, does that not, then this is like one of these things again that really, really bugs me about fighting IQ. No, I'm not saying go out and ding the guy, but go out and ding the guy. I mean, you've got to have a plan. But
Griffin's tough, man.
I know, but he didn't even look like he. Well, I suppose
he
I,
did hurt him. He I, fucking hurt him. He had some big ass shots.
Yeah.
Amadaev's what 8-0. I think he's knocked out every single person he'd fought before that. So
aye, he wins a knockout. So
if he's going to hit somebody, hits them.
Yeah, probably should have ended in a draw. To be fair.
One of the judges had 28-28, so.
Yeah, but my count, I had Dava Diving too, but there you go. But what about Khalid Taha?
Great knockout, 25-7. Just wanted to, he must have wanted to get wrecked or something, man. He just went in and finished it. I think it's like his second punch that actually knocked him out.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I think like people are doing with disservices when they're saying here it was punches, because the first one missed him and the second one killed him.
It was
something else, man. Boston Salmon was absolutely raging.
He was fuming, but I think he was out. He literally was out because he seen his arm kind of collapse when he fell down. He didn't control all of it.
I don't know if he was out cold. He wasn't out cold. You could have asked him his name, where he was. He could have said he was Santa Claus at the North Pole.
He would never have caught that.
Honestly, would not have had a clue where he was. Not a clue.
Even when he stood up again, he just kept falling backwards, and the referee's trying to basically catch him.
Mm.
And he's still arguing when he's falling backwards. Like, mate, you're literally just about to fall on your arse here.
Yeah.
You can't argue it.
Yeah.
No, I just 100%. Good finish for Taha.
What about a very, very good performance from Alexandre Pantoja?
Love Pantoja. Pantoja's a great fighter.
Really good.
Really, really good. Top 4 in a row, isn't it, from or something? 3 in a row?
3 in a row, I think. 3 in a row.
He's on his way to that title fight, definitely.
I mean, he's one of the top 5 guys.
It's another one of these below maybe the champion. There's 4 or 5 really good fighters in that division.
Mm-hmm.
There's a really good set of fighters who could really...
It's amazing because...
You want belts to change all the time, and between the 4 or 5 fighters, you possibly could have that.
Well, it's amazing because all of a sudden, that division was getting binned.
I think it's quite an exciting fight.
It's quite exciting. You've got Figueiredo, although Figueiredo could beat by Formiga. Benavides, who are... Formiga and Benavides are fighting again. You've got, you know, also Wilson Reese got beat, but he's still there. Tim Elliott, these guys, you've got Kai Kara France coming up. You know, there's loads of good fighters in those rankings. They're really good. It's, it is exciting. I would like to see the new rankings, obviously, when they get updated. These haven't been updated in a couple of weeks, so it'd be good to see where everybody sits, because I think your man Pantoja is basically going to jump Figueiredo, I would imagine.
I would like to think so.
Because Figueredo got beat and Pantoja won, so I think what will happen is end up being Pantoja 3 and then Figueredo 4 and Wilson Heiss.
You've got to think Pantoja's going to get the winner of Amiga Benavidez.
Yeah, you would think so. I mean, because Cejudo's away fucking about with another belt.
Stand my tits on. He just does my tits on, but that's half of
him.
He's a ball bagger boy.
But a great performance.
Brilliant Pantoja, done everything he needed to. Just.
Yeah.
Brilliant, well done, mate.
Well done. Frivola, Jalen Turner. I mean, it wasn't very good.
That wasn't a great fight at all, was it?
I'm still struggling to see how that was a 30-27.
I think Turner had some good counter strike and stuff at certain points, and I think maybe possibly could have won one of the rounds.
Yeah.
I don't think it was a 30-27, but
because when you see 30-27, you automatically think
domination, don't you?
And it just wasn't that at all.
I don't think it was that at all.
No, I agree.
It was totally a good win for him, but not a lot to say about that one. It's good wins on the early prelims. Bill Maverick, Curtis Miller, was a good one for him.
Called
it.
Well, it was my fight to watch,
okay.
And it was a good fight. I picked Bela. I thought he was going to smash Willander, and he did. That again. Look at the scorecards on that.
You're mental. The scores are there's 10-8s and or like me Montel Jackson a 10-8 and then against Sukumtath as well. Then one of the judges only had a 29-27, so it's.
Well, that means it was a 10-8.
That's what it does, actually. I don't know what a mark my mouth. It's shocking.
And one judge doesn't have a 10-8.
Two judges have 10-8s, but one didn't. I
had a
bounce
of the opposite guy.
I don't get
all three of the scores are different.
They're totally different.
Yeah, it was a strange old night for the judges.
The judges were busy, to be fair. They only had, four fights not to call.
Aye. That's true, aye.
A busy night for the judges, but...
Yeah, it was good. Paul Aaron Patel being Lauren Miller.
Mm-hmm.
A good performance. Moto Jackson actually beating Sukumanth was quite a good performance because
I didn't expect that. Sukumanth was going to beat him.
Sukumtaf, yeah, he's good. He's a good.
What did you want to say?
I can't think of me doing that. He's not got a great record, to be brutally honest with you, but yeah, I was still surprised by that. I picked Sukumtaf in our predictions at the weekend.
Yeah, I picked
which you can
well.
See on our social medias, guys.
Yeah, just need to look at them.
Mark doesn't want you to look at them because Mark. Pumped.
I didn't do very well this weekend. Again. I love how we start keeping track of him and I start losing.
Aye, that's what it is.
I think he's all over us.
No, because what about the rest of them? Do you want to go back and check the rest of them? Maybe the rest of them you've been shitting off.
I want to go and do that, actually.
So move on to the main card. 5 fights on the main card on Saturday night. All of which I would have said were decent, to be honest. Or decent, something to talk about in them. There was nothing boring. There was nothing like, it just wasn't a generic fight.
No, there was five really good fights for me, to be honest.
And there's something in them to talk about on all of them. Like, Nikita Krylov, I mean, wow.
He's a scary dude, isn't he, man?
Oh,
he's unbelievable. He's tough, solid. Finished him, was that the only second time he's been to the second round or something? Like
something.
He's only been a distance once or something.
He's never been a distance. He's only ever been in the third round once.
See, that's a guy, that's...
He only spent a minute and a half in the third round. It was his UFC
debut. That's the kind of guy's fight you want to watch. That's what you want to watch.
I mean, he's got a good record and he's beat some. Oh, has he beat some big names? Oh, I don't know. I mean,
we came in. He was in the UFC for a bit, wasn't he? And then he went back out again and back down to fight Nate Global, won their title, and then he came back again, trying to make a second go yet. He lost his comeback to Big Yan, obviously in Moscow last year. So
yeah, that was a difficult one because Jan Blachowicz was brilliant that night. I remember
he was
that.
Really, really, really good that night. To be fair, big man. So. It was a tough comeback fight, but he went out against OSP, who I really like OSP. I think OSP's a great fighter, but I always liked OSP.
I'm not a massive fan of OSP, but, I was quite impressed with Krylov to get a wee submission win, and also to get the W back as well.
Get that back off him, man.
Put someone on an even keel, That was his lightweight debut. His first fight against OSP was his lightweight debut, his light heavyweight debut.
God, he must have been a big boy at middleweight.
That wasn't middleweight. Look who he fought before it, Walt Harris, he fought a heavyweight.
Oh, so he did.
Mm-hmm.
I know, that was only, that's preferred, I don't even see his name, I don't know.
Yeah, because I was trying to work out, I was like, his debut?
I just took it, stepped up, because usually you don't use a good
heavyweight. There wasn't much on him, though, as I said to you, there wasn't much on him. Like, he was quite svelte.
That's
quite
solid.
I was pretty sure, but he fought a heavyweight.
Heavyweight, yeah. No, fair enough. No, he's a solid guy.
Talk about Dwight Grant, Alan Juban, or Juban, or whatever, to me it's Juban, but...
I think it's Juban.
This was a difficult one.
It was one of these fights. Yubam was doing all the pressure and he was going forward, but he wasn't really throwing anything. And then Dwight Grant was throwing some great counters.
Yeah.
So, like, cut two of the judges to 29-28, which is probably what I had, to be honest, because I think maybe gave Yubam the third.
Yeah, but how did one judge have all three rounds for Alan Yubam?
I have no... But he can only give that through pressure. That must be what he's giving it through.
Well, it must be, because he didn't throw enough.
No, he
didn't. Well, then again, the stats said... The stats said Yubam threw more strikes in round 2 and 3 than...
Aye, but maybe what I seen was more and more punishing strikes, shall we say. He was touching them, but he wasn't really doing any sort of damage.
I definitely had a round each. That middle round, or whatever round you want to call it, was definitely...
Round 2 was probably the one, aye.
It was dodgy.
Uh-huh.
How somebody got 30-27 in favour of Yubam is...
No, because that's definitely one of the third first. Round as well, that's the thing. Is there's only a guy for there's a way for a pass and for go to come back in time for and the fight start.
Ah, it looks like he won. I don't know.
That's what it looks like.
That's the thing with judges though, it's a personal opinion, it's what you believe is a good fight.
Mm-hmm.
So we're always going to talk about judging decisions, that's the thing. That's why there's
not
three
a bad
of them.
Thing, but
because you've got to hope that three of them outweigh.
Like between them three of them they should get it right.
Should.
Yeah, that's important.
That's why people are saying it should up it to five, but I don't think that would do any good. I don't think that's necessarily going to fix the problem.
But then you look at other competitions where judges are involved, apart from boxing, like actual other sports, not fight sports, they have usually got more judges than three. So, I don't know. I don't think it would do any harm to at least try it and see how it goes and just try it out.
Mm, yeah, maybe.
I don't know.
Maybe. What about Khalil Roundtree?
What a performance. Now, they never gave any performances night bonuses, right?
Mm-hmm.
But of an individual performance against one man, I would probably say that's a performance tonight.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean?
Other than the four guys in the main event.
Aye, but I just mean that...
Outside that, yeah.
Yeah. 100%. I thought he was absolutely superb.
Was honestly, they watched a different fighter.
He was... That... They talked to him after, and obviously he went to Thailand, he's moved to Thailand, he's been training at Thailand. You can see the difference. It's unbelievable.
He looks like a Thai kickboxer.
It is...
Doesn't look anything like the guy that knocked out Paul Craig in Glasgow 3 years ago. 3 years ago.
What? That he can get on new kicks.
Without a tail. Without a
set. Right. Just boom, boom.
Just bang. Ow. What happened there?
His leg's back before he's even seen it. It was just, he's striking, he's punching. Everything was just, it was insane. It was brilliant. What a performance, I've got to say. Absolutely brilliant.
Anders looked massively out of his depth.
Oh, completely out of depth. He's not even ranked, is he, Roundtree? So you go forward, you look at that, and you go, well, surely at least next he's got to get a ranked fight. Because if you're thinking that Anders fought, what's his face?
Skandos.
Aye.
But that was on short notice.
It was a short notice, but still, obviously, the UFC must think you're good enough to be fighting a ranked guy.
Mm.
So surely now, Roundtree's got to get himself a fight.
Mm.
And that top, I guess somebody in that top 15, I would think.
Yeah.
Definitely. Maybe like an old one with some like Glover or something like that. Is Glover fine?
What about OSP?
Yeah, he's just fought the same night, hasn't he?
Yep.
Yeah, he go fight her. I mean, Krylov's got about that top 15, though, hasn't he?
Yeah, what about Krylov versus Roundtree?
That might be not a bad shout, actually.
Mm-hmm.
No, I think we've made a good fighter. I think go Krylov Roundtree, I think that's a shout.
Cool. Sorted, get it signed.
Happy with that?
Yep.
Okay,
then I'll send Sean Shelby and Eddie an email tomorrow, mate.
He has the money.
Aye.
Sorted. He needs to start getting the money for his fights. We'll come to him, I don't know.
So, now we're obviously moving on to... The two of them tell us, do we need to have a wee break here and get a gather of thoughts before we start?
Jesus, man. I don't even know where you start with these fights.
Before we start, obviously last week we did our ones to watch. You wrote them down. So I said to you, obviously Belal Muhammad, Curtis Melander was my fight, and Dustin Poirier versus Max Holloway. Well, sorry, Dustin Poirier was my fighter to watch for the reasons I stayed last week, because I thought it was going to be close and what people were giving him credit for.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, that turned out to be very much the case. But what true. About you? You had Imadiyev as your fighter to watch and he got pumped.
Yeah. Oh. Did he get pumped?
Yes, and what was your fight to watch?
He didn't get pumped. He was brilliant for the two rounds.
Oh, you beat. So fuck, it doesn't matter.
He won the two rounds. Yeah, just try to bowl us off.
And what was your
just
fight?
Just because he got beat because he grabbed the cage. That's what happened to you. Now you're just trying to make up for it.
And what was your fight of the night?
Well, I'd reached Pantoja, but then Pantoja just decided...
That could have been your... See if you picked him for your performance, mate. You were laughing. It's a shite fight.
I wouldn't have, because Pantoja didn't win performance. He wouldn't have won a performance.
Well, he did. He could have. He was a good knockout.
That was a good knockout.
It was a shite fight. So you lose this week on them.
I still think Amadeo is different. He'd lost in a technicality.
A technicality. Aye, very good.
He did, he lost in a technical. Well, we just said he'd have been a 28-28. No, Bentley
grabbed the cage. Never talked about
that. That should be a 28-28.
Okay.
Let's say it. You're a fucking hell, man.
Let's do it. Adesanya Gastelum.
This was insane from start to finish. This was this is possibly one of the best. This possibly fight of the night, fight of the year.
Aye.
Made already.
Aye, like
it's just. I've never seen Adesanya take so much damage. I mean, every time Gastelum hit him, he fucking hit him.
That was the thing. Like again, this was not as one sided as what people thought. Like nowhere near it.
No, definitely not.
I didn't give Gastelum any hope here. We didn't give Gastelum any hope here.
No,
we didn't.
No, we never. I never thought Gastelum would get close here. And you look at the scorecards, 48-46, and they probably, it was that 10-8 in the final round, really, wasn't it?
The only reason he was 46 because it was a 10-8. It could have been a 48-47 had it just been a normal round at the end, but obviously he battered the living shit out of him in the final round. But
I could possibly have one of the best rounds of fighting I've ever seen from a single man.
I think you're taking that out of context. I think if you were to say that to somebody without watching the fight, people would go, well, no, I don't mean not watching the fight. What I mean is, it was the fifth round. It was a championship round. He knew it was 2 each.
And he went out and fucking bashed him.
In that sense, I agree with you, but just as an overall kind of best round, I wouldn't have said Roundtree putting Anders on his arse 5 times in the one round was just as good. I just
think the level that was at to beat a guy who is...
That's what I'm saying. A wee bit of context. It was a championship round. He knew it was 2 each. Yeah. And he went out and went, oh, fuck this, man. I'm not having this. This is getting done. And he absolutely bashed him. In that sense, yeah, I agree. But just overall, like in a general like fighting terms, you might find a better round. I mean, the final round last year with Rodriguez Zombie was incredible.
I've been an individual man in a single round. But 3 knockdowns, 2 submission attempts.
Mm.
Was Gastelum standing at any point during the last 5 minutes?
Yeah, he was standing for a wee bit, right?
Aye, 30 seconds, he stood up and they knocked him back down again.
Well, maybe, aye. What's that going to be?
You know, I just thought it was an insane final round.
It put a very big exclamation mark on that fight for me.
Oh, aye.
Because we were talking after the fourth round, basically saying, this could go either way.
Mm-hmm.
The way it was going, it was up and down and up and down, left and right, whatever. And Adesanya came out of nowhere. Adesanya was like a different person in that fifth round.
It's only turned it on and just
it's almost as if he went out of second gear into third round. Nah, fuck this, man. I've had 2 rounds getting beat by this guy. It's 2 each. I'm having that. I'm going to do this, prick. And they did.
He just put a big massive exclamation mark on it and went, aye, I'm a champion.
Right.
Or the interim champion. Number one, can we call it number one contender? Or is that too wrestling like?
Oh, I don't know. I just don't like. What do they call it in boxing? Number one contender.
I would say it's number one contender.
Yeah, I just don't like giving. See, for me, the pinnacle of a guy's career should be winning the belt, right?
But you could say as well, but this is he is the champion, because when was the last time the belt?
I know.
This goes back to this thing of maybe if you've not fought for your defended your belt in so long, it should be taken off you.
Yeah, well, I don't disagree with that, and I don't agree that Khabib should have kept it. I'm a massive Khabib fan. I'd love to say that I think it's bullshit, but I don't think they should have taken off him. But my point is, the pinnacle of anyone's career, of Dustin Poirier's career, should be winning that lightweight belt. And he's won an interim belt, and it looked like it felt like everybody won the belt.
Basically, what he was saying after was that he's the champion.
I know, but that's what I'm saying. And this is this false thing that UFC have created. It isn't fighters that have created this. It's the UFC by giving interim belts to their guys. I get it. A lot of people are strong advocates for it. We are not. Well, I am not. I don't know what you feel about it now after that night. But honestly, I just think it creates a culture within the fighters. Just Dustin Poirier reacted like he'd won the belt. He talked like he'd won the belt. He's saying he's the champ. Yeah, but that's not true. It's not what it is. Like, I just don't. It's not for me, mate. It really isn't for me. I just don't like it. Say before the fight, number one contender match, Holloway versus Poirier, yeah, gets Khabib, nay bother, and let him celebrate it and do it. But giving him a belt, it's fake. It's fake. It's like Colby. Look at the state of Colby. Look at the actual state of that fucking idiot. Because he's walking about with that belt as if he's the champ and as if he's this big deal. When all he did was he beat some other guy to get a shot at the belt, which he then passed up on. Mm. So UFC have created this culture, and it's not good. It's not good for fighters, mate. It's not good for somebody like Dustin Poirier, or Adesanya. The two of them were utterly, utterly incredible on Saturday night. And for me, listen to them talk about, oh, we won the belt as if they won the actual belt, it takes a total shine off it, because these guys think, Obviously, they don't think it's the pinnacle. They know there's a next step, but
I think this is maybe a difference between America and this maybe a UK thing. Maybe it's a very American, it's a very Americanized thing. It's obviously a thing they love, and maybe they do it in other sports in America. The wrestling on it, I don't know anything about wrestling.
Yeah, you don't have a pre Super Bowl champ.
No, but that's a team sport. That's different.
I know, but I'm just saying, like, I don't know, mate. I just
and technically you do because the champion in NFC and the champion in AFC, they're champions.
That's different divisions. That's different. That's different divisions, mate. What about tennis? You don't have a pre-champion.
That's a world sport. I'm talking about American sports.
I know, but it was in America, like the US Open. They don't have that. They don't.
Aye, but that's a world sport. This is
just MMA, mate.
Aye, but this is run by an American organisation.
Nah, I don't know, mate. I just can't. It's just not for me, the end turn belts. But listen, don't take away for these guys. These guys were absolutely amazing. Adesanya's performance was incredible.
See, to be honest, before
Gastelum's performance was incredible. Gastelum's performance
was incredible. Gastelum was brilliant as well, to be fair. He was absolutely brilliant. It was just that final round that done it for him. I was actually surprised, to be honest. I thought Gastelum was decent. I never really thought he was anything special. I didn't think he would ever get close to being involved, and even involved in a championship fight.
He showed that he's a lot better than what we gave him credit for.
Oh, definitely.
Because when he was supposed to fight Whitaker, we said Whitaker would pick him up, wipe the floor with him, and it'd be over quite quickly. Mm. And we were, well, although we never seen that fight, but in that evidence...
I would be surprised if that would have happened, now looking back at this Adesanya fight.
I think he's probably the second best middleweight in that division, Kelvin. Because I think Adesanya's better than Whitaker.
Okay, fair enough.
I think, at the moment... So, and I'd like to see Gastelum back. I still like to see that fight, to be honest, but it'll not happen for a while now because Shaqiri's still to get a shot, and obviously Adesanya's not getting a shot.
Adesanya, Whitaker will be the next fight, won't it? So that'll be. I can't wait to watch it. I really hope they take it to Australia, but they've got to take it to Australia.
MCG.
Got to take it to MCG. You've got 100,000 in that arena, and they've just got to go Tonto for it. And it's got to be October, between about the 5th of October and about the 8th of October.
That's just because you're going to Melbourne.
I've gone to Melbourne. I'm really desperate for it to be that weekend. I go to Melbourne.
Hope it rains.
Thanks, mate. Thanks very much.
All 4 weeks in October, I hope it rains.
I love you too, mate. Cheers. Mm. Just destroying my honeymoon.
Moving on.
Poirier, Holly, what a fight. First four rounds were insane. Absolutely insane.
The two of them should take a bow, man. I actually think, to be honest, I think the Adesanya-Gastelum fight was... edged it for me in terms of the overall fight. Like,
I would say because of the exclamation mark that was put on in the fifth.
Yeah, but this was unreal.
Brutal, man.
Dustin Poirier, I mean, wow.
What a boxer that guy is. Wow. Power in his arms, man. He's just...
I would love to sit here and say, tell you so, because I picked him as one to watch. But when I picked him as my one to watch, I said to you, Holloway would pump him, but it would be closer than what people were giving him for Poirier credit for.
I
take my hat off to him, and I say I was wrong. Put my hands up and say, mate, I was wrong. Dustin Poirier, take a bow, son, because that was special. That was special to watch. That was a guy who is insanely good at his craft. Getting told that the guy he's fighting is going to mash you, and he went, "I ain't bother, that's fine. And then went and smashed him.
Brilliant.
Holloway looked... When Holloway was under pressure the first two rounds, Holloway looked average.
Oh, he looked lost. He didn't really know what he was doing.
Longer fighting on, Holloway seemed to maybe just have that wee bit more class in championship rounds, stuff like that. But he was, by that point, he was done. But I mean, just... I can't go over to some party, mate. That's all it is for me. Like,
yeah, I've always liked... I never maybe thought he would get to that level, but I've always really, really liked watching Dustin Poirier the fight. I thought he was tough, he's solid, he's going to be able to stand there with a lot of guys.
That was a different Dustin Poirier, though. For me, I've never seen Dustin Poirier fight like that. I've not.
That was
a different level. That was a level up for me, mate. I said this to you last
fight?
Week.
I can't remember. There was a fight. I mean, look at the fight and his performance tonight he's involved in.
No.
But
that
insane,
was a different level, though, because I think the performance tonight in fighting, look, one of his performances tonight was with Gaethje. They both basically swung at each other. Same with Alvarez. He basically knocked Alvarez out. So I get it, I understand, but I think this was a level up, mate. I really do. I
firmly believe. But he had to take that step up. He's done that.
100%. And I'm glad, that's what I'm saying. I'm glad he did, because it now shows that maybe he can do it at the top level with the top guys.
He's got one loss since he got beat by McGregor.
Mm.
One loss is.
I would have him against McGregor. I think he would smash McGregor.
No, he's got to be fighting Khabib next.
No, I don't mean I would have that fight. I just mean I would have him over McGregor. If they were fighting, I'd have Poirier. I think Poirier would mash McGregor.
Mm-hmm. No, I think Poirier's boxing just as good as McGregor's is, he's striking. So I would not disagree with you, because I think probably Poirier's got more power in his arms. He's stronger, he's tougher, he can last longer.
Yeah, offence to Michael Johnson, but how the hell did Michael Johnson beat Dustin Poirier?
I have absolutely no idea.
I'm going to watch that fight.
I was looking at that myself. I need to watch that back to find out what actually happened in that fight. Because when was that? 2016, so a couple of years back. I've no idea, to be honest.
See, to be honest, see the his losses, right? Zombie, Cub Swanson, McGregor, Michael Johnson. And Danny Castillo, way back in the WC.
Where was Zombie?
Chang Sung Young.
Oh, I thought I couldn't see that. I missed that one. Wait, what's that?
So, like, good guys, but you know, just chose he's honed his craft, mate. He's come back and he's made himself better.
Well, do you want to know something? He's beat three world champions.
Hmm?
Beat three world champions. That's pretty insane, even to beat three world champions. I mean, anything else.
It's mental.
Brilliant.
The fight was just great. Poirier was brilliant. Holloway was decent when he got going.
The damage he did was a third or a fourth third, I think it was. He really did come out, and the volume that he was throwing against him was unbelievable.
Yeah, it was unreal.
The damage, Poirier took quite a lot of damage, and I think I'm sure it was the third in that third round, and he really, really pummeled him really, really badly.
His fight with Zombie was fight of the year on ESPN.
I can imagine that being fight of the year.
Wrestling Observer newsletter. In 2012.
I can imagine being that fight of the year.
I can't go over it, man. I honestly can't go over it. I take it all back. I really do. I take it all back. I'm dumbfounded.
Me and Paul, what losses has Max Holloway got? Four losses. I was going to say, he's got three losses in 2012 with Dustin Poirier. To have somebody's number like that to beat in place is pretty... To beat what we were calling a couple of weeks back, pound for pound, best fighter on the planet.
Well, he was.
And he's beaten him twice.
I mean, he was. Like, I don't know what to say. I thought we'd be able to talk about this for ages, but I'm pure speechless. I'm still speechless. I still cannot believe that Dustin Poirier won that decision. I didn't think it would go five rounds, and two, I didn't think that Holloway would lose.
Do you know what I would say? But I didn't think it was as big a margin as 49-46. I was employed three judges at 49-46. I'd have probably had it 48-47. I thought Holloway won the third and the fourth, maybe.
Don't know. Holloway definitely won one. I do agree with you. I think that there was potential there, but I can see it both ways. There was no doubt about the Gastelum score. It was bang on for me. Absolutely bang on. This one, yeah, it could have been 48-47.
You think 49-46? So that's pretty dominant. But I thought third and fourth round there was.
Poirier won.
Oh, Poirier won the fight. I'm not denying that Poirier won the fight. That's what I'm saying, 48-47. Maybe unanimous decision would have been it for me, and maybe. But no, I don't know what to say. It was that good a fight. It was brilliant. I can't wait to see him fight Khabib, because I don't know how that's going to go. Really don't have a clue.
I worried about that fight.
What for Poirier, do you think so?
No, for Khabib.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, McGregor to me is almost a wee bit like Max Holloway. He doesn't punch for the sake of it. He punches straight and true and to knock somebody out. Poirier just swings.
Right, but he knows how to swing.
I get that, mate, but that's not what I'm saying. But look at Holloway against Ortega. Holloway missed like three punches out of 100 against... it was some stupid. It was a 97% accuracy or some stupid. McGregor's the same. Poirier's not. Poirier also throwing 400 punches in the hope that 150 of them land and he mashes the guy out. That's the way Poirier fights, and that's cool. And I enjoy that. Yeah, exactly. How does Khabib handle that?
Well, Khabib does what Khabib does and puts him on the ground. You can't punch him when he's in the ground.
Dustin's not a bad wrestler. Oh, I suppose nobody's really can love it. I don't know, mate. As a Khabib fan, that fight scares me. I'm scared of him.
Do you know what would get me for me? He's maybe got to do it in a way that he's got to stop the takedowns, obviously. Because I think I was just looking there. He has wrestled in high school and all that. So he's got to have some sort of basis for a wrestling background. But it isn't what Khabib is. So you've got to use maybe a lot of uppercuts. Try to keep him up. Try to keep him from trying to get the takedowns.
Aye.
Because you've got to scare him in a way, Khabib, to try and... Khabib won't be able to live with his striking. Never in a million years. He's got better as a striker.
But then he'll not be able to live with Khabib's wrestling. So it's one of both sides.
It's the perfect MMA fight.
It's not the perfect MMA fight. It's contrasting styles. But that's
why MMA was invented, to see how one style would be able to cope with the other.
But then contrasting styles doesn't necessarily mean good fight. Look at Damien Maia versus Woodley. That was one of the worst fights ever.
I'm not doubting that. But I'm just meaning in as a perfect wrestler against an incredible striker. You're looking at that and going, this is why MMA was started, to see who was the best. Who was the best? What discipline was the better discipline?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So, you looked at that way, it's just got to be a great fight. I can't wait for it, to be honest. I think Poirier would do far better than McGregor did anyway.
Mm-hmm.
100%. So, no, it should be good. Hopefully get that set up maybe September. Did I see something online about Khabib saying September?
Well, it's October, he's banned till.
I thought I seen something online about September.
Banned for a year from the date of the fight, and the fight was in October. So, that's our little... Happy with 2D6? Would you like to talk about anything else? Was there anything we missed?
Can't think. This bus I messed up a couple of times by the windows. Where's us? Because you don't mess up at one point.
It was a split decision with the draw.
I made an arse.
He didn't draw. He should have read out the draw first.
Aye.
Because he was doing a split decision, so you read out the one, then the other, and then back to the winner. And he fucked it.
Basically, aye, that's fuck it. But no, it was decent. Good night. Good night at UFC. Can't complain, it was good.
Excellent. I thought it was brilliant. If I'm honest, I thought it was absolutely brilliant. Can't really fault any of it. Even the decisions were good. The submissions were good. The Pantoja's knockout was good. Taha's knockout was incredible.
Mm-hmm.
It really had everything. And there was a lot, again, for the casual MMA fan. Okay, you'll enjoy the top two fights, maybe top three fights. But then for your hardcores, you know, your first eight fights were superb. So, yeah, I can't moan about it, mate. It's a very high quality we've got just now. We really should take it while we've got it, because it might get to a stage where all the good fighters have fought and it's going to be a quiet few weeks. So, let's just take it as they go. There was one at the weekend, but we didn't see it. So we can't talk about it. We didn't see it.
No, I don't know anything about it. I don't even know any winners or anything like that.
So no point even
chance.
To be honest.
Too much drink involved.
Yeah, far too much drink involved. I regret it all.
I still don't know how you gave me all these shots, but I'm like, murder, man. You literally tried to kill me.
We tried. It didn't work, though. Still here. Okay, we'll move on. We'll look ahead now. We will look towards Saturday night from... Okay, let's give this a go. The Yubelnyi Sports Palace in St. Petersburg, Rushki. I think that's all right. Could do better.
For that?
Could do better. Yeah, go if you want.
No, I don't really want to get a call if I'm talking about this, but there we go.
Don't interrupt me. Remember, got to do all my names. So, it's UFC Fight Night, Overeem versus Olenek, also known as UFC Fight Night 149, and also UFC on ESPN Plus 7. Now you can talk about it.
Why the fuck do they need so many names?
Fuck, I don't know, mate.
I'm going to bring this up.
Obviously, UFC Fight Night 149 is them counting up their fight nights. Cool. UFC and ESPN Plus 7 is the 7th time they've had a show on ESPN Plus. Keeping track of it. And obviously UFC Fight Night Overeem versus Olenek is the official name for it. So I get it, but it's just pointless. But
Well, first thing I'll say is I'm not disappointed with the headline fight, because obviously Volkov was supposed to be in this.
That would have been a good fight.
I hope Overeem Volkov would have been a good fight. So to see Big Olenek again, don't get me wrong, it was a good fight up.
Yeah, it was just no...
There's a 57 wins or 69 fights for Olenek, by the way.
Yeah, it's crazy. The Russians are mental, mate.
Fight every week. Literally fight every week. Maybe we'll see any Zeeble choke him again. I don't know. It doesn't excite me now, to be honest. I'm not excited, to be honest, about much on this card.
I mean, there's some good names on it. Like, I mean, Tabura, I don't know why he's fighting so far down. Abdurakhimov, we absolutely roasted him last time because it was absolutely terrible, remember? Big old Russian guy.
Oh, baldy guy.
Fought Arlovsky.
Aye.
Remember? It was horrendous.
That was horrific, actually.
But Marcin Tabura's a young guy, you know. Sergey Pavlovich on the main card,
he was undefeated, wasn't he?
He was the one that Overeem beat him.
Aye.
Overeem beat him. He was 12-0 and Overeem beat him. Roxy's fighting. She's fighting Anthony Lish. She's in for a very, very long night.
Well, I think what the ferry's going to get absolutely smashed here.
I think she might die.
Dies that much, but we'll go for it.
I mean, Devin Clark again. Devin's
got
one.
A tough fight. Ivan Shtrikov. You hear me that one?
Shtrikov.
Strykov. He's 16-0. He's a fucking
scary guy.
Monster of a guy. Punches like fuck, like most of these Russians seem to do these days.
I'm really looking forward to seeing Islam Makai Makachev. Makachev.
16-1. We did watch him last time, didn't we?
I watched, not on the podcast, but
I beat Cajun Johnson, we'll didn't
I? Aye, because we celebrated because we don't like Cajun Johnson.
No, aye, we know why we don't like Cajun Johnson. But
look at the four guys he's beat.
He's won his last four in the UFC.
Chris Wade, Nick Lenz, Gleison Tabau, and Cajun Johnson.
Four decent wins.
That's four good wins.
He's only lost one fight, which was against Adriano Martins.
So I'm looking forward to seeing him. It'll be an interesting fight. I don't know who he's fighting. It's kind of rubbish that he's no fighting. It seems to be there's quite a lot of maybe a couple of pullouts in this. Because I know
Emil Meek was down for it at one point.
Yep, Emil Meek was supposed to fight Sultan Aliyev, but he was withdrawn. I don't know why he was withdrawn though. Nothing really gets said about it. He got replaced by a Japanese boy, Kato Nakamura. I say it's weird, like, there's names scattered all over this card, but it's always difficult when they go somewhere like this because they get a lot of local people that we've never heard of. Look at Bellator in Dublin. We didn't even cover that because we'd literally heard of one guy.
I think we'd heard of more than one.
Oh, you know what I mean? There was like two or three guys we'd heard of, that was it. You know?
I bet we're like Amadovsky, if we don't see him a couple of weeks back, but he's fighting Christoph Yoko.
Was there not somebody else?
No, I'm sure. No, what was that? Aye, he was in Bellator. He was in Bellator, he watched before Christmas, and he mangled the boy. First 12 seconds, mate.
Punch.
First punch. One punch knockout.
Dana White must have been watching that and went, sign him.
Sign him. I remember that. He's beat Will Fury in Bellator as well, so 7-0, man. That's a tough fight for Yoko.
I see, there's names on it, but there's nothing.
I'll watch it. I'm not buzzing for it, but I will watch it. Yoko's lost his last three, actually. Branch, Hall and Tavares.
Could be interesting.
That's a tough fight, I think, for Yoko. That was like a must-win for me as well. No, won't fall to it. I'll watch it. It's MMA, I'm going to watch it.
Of course we will.
So, hopefully it'll be decent. I just hope Wolverine maybe turns on the style, because I really don't want to see Olenek win. I don't know why, but...
Two old dudes,
fine. I'm not buzzing, but... Well, we'll watch it. We'll get a bit of ash and we'll talk about it next week. Have you fight tonight enough?
Aye, but I don't know really much about it, but I think my fighter to watch is Marcin Tybura. I like Tybura. I think he's very underrated. I don't think he's brilliant. I don't know if he'll ever get to the heights of winning a heavyweight title, but Marcin Tybura is one of these boys. I quite like watching him fight. He is quite good, I think. Lost a couple of shitty ones, but...
Beat Struve last time.
Beat a couple of decent ones. Beat Lewis and he's a couple of good
ones. Very hit and miss.
Aye, but I think he's maybe one to watch. Fight of the night, I think, is going to be... Fight to watch for me, I think it's got to be Pavlovich. I think Pavlovich is going to be absolutely raging that he could be, and he's going to go out and absolutely mash this
Bazoon. Furious, isn't he?
I think he's going to mash this Bazoon. I really do. But we'll see. But that's my fight to watch, and my fighter is Marcin Tybura. There you go.
God, I don't remember that. Hey, I'll go for... Go fight tonight first.
Mm-hmm.
Go come in. The two boys are Makachev and...
Surikin.
Surikin, thank you very much for that. Go for that.
Surikin.
Two good records.
Yeah, I should have picked that, but...
Honestly, yeah. Makachev's won his last four. I think that's about a really good fight. Two really good fighters. Good. I'd be good. Fuck's sake, that boy's no worse. He's... I'll go for that.
What about your fighter?
Got to go Antonina Shevchenko.
Did I know you were going to go that? It's probably the easiest pick on the card.
Probably is, but I think a performance of the night.
That's not your performance of the night, remember. It's your one to watch. It's something that you think will stick out. Doesn't have to be what you think is going to perform tonight, just something that interests you. I don't think Marcin Tybura is going to perform tonight. Kid, no, he's on the prelims. He's not that good. I just like Marcin Tybura, and I think he's somebody to watch out for. Guys, maybe...
Well, if it's not Shevchenko for me, it'll be Amadovsky.
Yeah, Amadovsky then. Go for that. That's probably more likely.
He's fighting Christoph Yoko, who's a guy with a decent record. He's a filler called in Shoko, isn't he? I maybe could see that.
Cool.
Ending quite quickly.
That's what I said to you when we did this. It's about stuff that you find interest rather than what you think is going to be fight night. It's easy to pick fight night because you just pick main event.
Yeah, true.
I didn't
but this won't be fighting.
No, you know what I mean, though? It's easy. The stuff that interests you, Marcin Tybura, I want to look at, and I think Sergey Pavlovich versus Marcelo going to be a great fight. I love seeing heavyweights go at it, and I think it's going to be absolutely brilliant. So there you go.
Right, fair enough, man. Bad run. I'll wait that down anyway. No, so, sort of next week.
There's nothing else really this weekend.
No, I had a look. There's nothing really on at all. It's a bit
odd.
Odd, aye.
There's some boxing. Amir Khan's fighting. What's his name? Crawford, what's his name? He's got a funny first name, do you know? What's his name? Terence. I knew it was Terence.
Hold on.
I don't know how I got that, because I'm not a massive boxing fan, but... yeah.
It's fighting, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like the Rising card on this weekend, but we don't really know much about Rising.
Yeah, there is a Rising card as well. I don't know if there's anybody on it worth noting. I know there was a Bellator boy jumping across there. So I don't know if that's this weekend. Somebody's jumping across there to fight. I can't remember who it is.
Kyle Holbe, any chance?
That's exactly who it is. Is he fighting this weekend?
Is this weekend.
I knew he was jumping across to fight there.
205 title.
He's fighting the Valley Heavyweight title against Yuri... Why did I do this to myself? Yuri Prochazka. Prochazka.
You happy with that?
I'm okay with that. Yeah, I'll do with that.
Ben Gens, right, his debut at?
Mm-hmm.
Tall one.
He's ex-UFC, isn't he?
He'd lost his last two or three UFC fights. He beat with Wilson Reese and Jesse Formiga.
So he's obviously just left there then, and get released.
Yeah, so.
That's interesting. So, I mean, there's some decent...
Maybe he's even catch him online somewhere. So but anyway...
Moving on, so...
We've got the news.
I'm going to try and get a jingle for this, but I'm going to need to try and get something on my phone where I can press a button and it does like a news kind of intro, and then it just introduces you and you just flow right into your stuff. Okay. I like this bit of the show personally because I get to kind of talk back to you for a change.
Fair
enough. So, man, hit me with what you got.
Right. Obviously, big news last Monday night for us, and Ross Pearson retired.
I like how you... said that was the big news. There's a much, much bigger story that you've just kind of walked right over the top of.
I don't know, I'll really back to last, to be honest. That could be my rant of the night.
Yeah, okay. If you want to do that, that's cool. I'm up for that.
So Ross Pearson retired.
Ross Pearson, good British fighter, good solid guy.
Surprised. I thought he was going to be one of these guys that just always fought because he just likes fighting.
I think he probably realised that level, though, is
too much for him,
aye, because Green showed him up. He's not that old, though, that's the thing.
34 or something.
But he's an experienced guy. How many has he had?
36 fights.
And he's only won one of his last seven. Two of his last nine. I mean, you've got to get to a stage where you think, do you know what?
Is it worth me taking the damage?
Is it worth me taking the damage? He can maybe go start training. He can maybe get involved over here with Cage Warriors or even stay with the UFC, maybe work at the PI or something. Or even do commentary if he's into that. You know, you don't know the... He lives in Australia, so maybe he's going to start something down there, I don't know, but good guy, by all accounts. His record in the end, didn't he, read great.
20-16.
But
I'd imagine as long as you get down with a better record for wins in your losses.
As long as you're over 50% and you're fine, so he was, so yeah.
True.
Well done, Ross Pearson, on a good career, my man.
It's quiet this week, apart from the big news, but we'll get Kovalchevich Grasso, I think it'll be a good fight. I think Bill Hang is. Kovalchevich needs to sort of sell it and quickly.
She looked totally lost.
So that's not far away, is it?
It isn't far away. She's fighting quite quickly and I can't remember where it is.
Is it not June? Yeah, it's had June 2-3-8.
So it's only 2 months.
It's nothing really.
So she's done well eh?
She obviously just wants to get back on the horse. She's a cutler. She had that bad defeat, she needs back in horse straight away and gets...
It wasn't a bad defeat. Morrison was good. She was just good. Better. She just didn't look herself.
But well, that's my point.
Grass was a tough fight though. She's got a good record.
Has a very good record. She's got time to recognise you, so... Diego Sanchez versus Chiesa, I think that'll be a good fight as well.
I think it will be, because Chiesa looks like he may have found
where he should be. Though.
And Sanchez had an absolutely amazing performance last time out, so it makes sense. Chiesa wanted a fight. Sanchez obviously wants to maybe try and make a wee hill up the rankings and yeah, go for it. Why not? I'm up for that.
That's pretty decent. Obviously, we had all the title figures at 106, Cage Warriors.
Mm-hmm. We've had them all announced now.
Well, no, apart from the last one, still to go. But obviously, Dean Truman hadn't had a fight because Soran Bhatt pulled out. So Mads Bernal is now.
Yeah, Mads Bernal versus Dean Truman is a great fight.
I can't wait for that. I'll be brilliant.
I love Soran Bhatt. But Sorenback looked ill when he fought featherweight last time. So
he's a better light, he's better staying at lightweight. This is what Baz Barbrell was brought in for, but
oh, to smash the
could be the featherweight champion.
Yeah.
So this is
his moment. Why Dalby was brought in as well.
Nah, he'd go more than 170.
Yeah, it's not gonna happen, but Houston's gonna mash him.
Of course he's gonna mash him, man. So aye, a good fight. Rocco Blachowicz.
Yeah.
Aye. I think aye, okay. We're not gonna talk about that.
I know Rockhold was actually supposed to be in talks to fight Jacare, because who was Jacare fighting? Jacare was supposed to be fighting something they pulled out. Aye, Romero, and Romero pulled out. So there's talks of moving Rockhold to that.
Aye, but Rockhold said he's moving up to light heavyweight, didn't he? So that was always his plan after his last fight, I'm sure he said.
Yeah, but I was talking that though. I don't know if it's obviously never came to end, but
Formiga, I feel sorry for this boy.
I think he just wants to fight, mate. Why would you take it if you didn't have to? He's always thinking to himself, do you know what, I'm going to just take it.
Remember the UFC are just saying, well, you need to basically beat everybody, because Udo's too bloody busy because he's been a wee wanker.
Oh wow, that was controversial.
You tell me he's not a wanker?
I don't want to call the guy a wanker. I don't really know the guy personally, to be honest. He just seems like a bit of a dick. But well, as soon as Marlon Moraes smacks Saudo, that's really not going to happen, is it?
I really hope it does.
Yeah, but it's not going to.
Do you think so?
Nah, I can't see it. I think Saudo's absolutely brilliant, mate. That's the worst thing.
We'll talk about that closer at a time.
Yeah. Yeah, for me, I just wants to keep fighting, I guess. Obviously, Jiu-Jitsu himself, like we Joey Benavides wants to fight as well. Good to see this back. They fought like a long time ago then too.
It was a while back, wasn't it?
I can't remember exactly when I was looking at the record. When I seen it get announced, I seen it and I was like, wow, they fought a long time. I'm sure it was like 5 or 6 years ago. 2013, September. So it's been a long time since they fought. They've both, well, one of them's had a title shot since. Did Formiga get a shot?
Yeah, I'm sure Formiga did get a shot at one.
So yeah. They've both had title shots since then.
Basically just like that should basically be a
no, kind of, for me I never got a title shot actually.
No. Hey, so what's this boy got to do to get a title shot?
Well, he had a pretty rubbishy record for a bit, beat by Cejudo, beat by Ray Borg, beat by Benavides, you know, stuff like that.
He's still won his last four, but man,
he's won his last four, so this will put him, well, I suppose his last four and he's already ranked number one. Jesus, man.
So why is he not getting a fight?
Yeah, because Cejudo's fucking off as you're playing with Batman.
He's a wanker.
Yeah, exactly.
Cejudo's fault. Right, we'll finish with two bits of Bellator news. Thanks, Scopes, at Bellator Birmingham.
Mm-hmm.
Bit disappointing, because it's always good to have a good bit of English presence there. So.
Yep, definitely is. What's in England? And Ryan Scope looked amazing against Pitbull.
Did look really good.
Gutted about that, to be honest. I was looking forward to seeing him fight again, especially at a different level down, see if we can get a win.
Last wee thing, Ryan Bader signed a new deal with Bellator, multi year deal, so he's not going anywhere soon, which is never a bad thing, because
not hardly a surprise either. He was never going to go back to UFC, not as a double champ anyway.
He's gone, but it's good to see good fighters fight, so hopefully it continues.
So what's him fight? Should we do any time? We fought in January?
Yeah, you think maybe July, maybe.
Well, I didn't do it, or not, I didn't very much talk to him in the first minute, so.
Aye, but if you're a double champ, you can do the fuck you want, maybe.
That's true.
So, big news of the week.
We'll have a chat about Tyler Jeffrey.
We're former UFC bantamweight champion.
I'm just so disappointed, mate.
I was surprised. I don't know why. I always thought TJ was one of these guys that was just hard work. Because he always looked ripped. He absolutely looked ripped. He always has done.
I'm just surprised, mate.
It's such a hard one, because I've been thinking about it all week, because when I wrote it down, it literally happened. I was absolutely fuming, because it was literally like 2 hours after we recorded the show. I was looking at my phone and seeing you get a 2 year, and I was like, you're actually kidding me on. We've literally just recorded the show. We've missed the biggest news that there's been in UFC for months, possibly years. As a former champ,
a two-time champ, possibly one of the best bantamweights in the UFC, in the history of the UFC even. And he's been injecting shit in his body. And I read some stuff after it. I wanted to try and read some stuff and figure out what was going on. And Jeff Nowitzki said it's up there on a list of worst doping. Like, he said it's up there with like the cycling and stuff like that. And
I just don't understand why champions do it.
Well, maybe that's why he was a champion though.
Yeah.
Maybe never get caught for, but then how would they not get caught? That's the thing.
That's what I don't get. I don't understand how this is the first time he's been caught.
Maybe it was fear. Maybe he's fear stepping up. Maybe he's fighting Cejudo.
I would love to go back and see his past record. I want to know if it was this one time only. If it was for this one fight. Because what he was taking was basically the drug. It creates more red blood cells that allows you to work for longer.
Yeah.
So basically, this sounds to me like he was taking this drug to allow him to work for longer, to lose the weight to get down to 125. Because let's be honest, I was surprised personally how easy it looked to get 125. I looked 125, but I was surprised how easy it took him.
So maybe it was working harder, maybe he left it too late and he had to do something drastic to cut the weight. And then whatever, I don't know, whatever the reason may be, he put a video on his Instagram basically acknowledging what he'd done and said that it was up to him. He made the decision himself. He felt pretty shitty about it. Stuff like that. But the worst thing is, for me, the only way to take this is by injection. So he knew exactly what he was doing.
He's put it 100%. It's in his body.
It's not as if it's tainted supplements or, you know, somebody slipped something in his drink or whatever it may be, whatever reasons these guys give. He literally had to physically have a drip and put that in him. And it is. I'm just so disappointed. I'm disappointed for UFC. I'm disappointed for him because it totally... Joe Rogan said something that I agreed with, which is a shock for me because I don't agree with Joe Rogan an awful lot. But it totally kills his legacy. Kills everything. Even if he comes back after 2 years, has 10 fights, earns a title shot, wins a title again, doesn't matter. He'll still be that guy.
I will, with a drug cheat.
Still be that guy.
John Jones can't get rid of it, so
TJ does. Yeah, but this is worse than John Jones.
Aye, true.
For me. Because what he's been caught doing.
True.
Seriously, massively in performance enhancing drugs. As Jeff Nowitzki said, it's up there. It's up at the top of the list of things you can do or things you can take to improve it. I'm injecting yourself. Come on, man. Like, it's just mental.
It's ridiculous. It really is.
I did like what Coach Kavanaugh said. You talked about this. So a 2-year ban, retrospective, back to the date of the test, or back to the date of the fight. But he said there should be a 2-year ban back the way. Backdate it 2 years. And then all his win bonuses, take them off him, make him pay them back, and give them to the guys he's fought.
When you look at like Sir Cody, he basically destroyed Cody's career.
Yeah. He only fought, to be honest, the guy he beat twice was Cody Garbrandt in those 2 years, because he hadn't fought, because he got done, it's retrospective, 19th of January, so the only two fights he had since then were one in November 2017 and one in August, and both for Cody. So Cody lost 2 win bonuses because potentially he was cheating.
But we'll never know that, let's be honest now. Because some of the things Cody was coming up on Twitter and all that, call him a scumbag, and it was just... He was going in hard.
Well, I think Cody should. I think Cody's got a right to go in hard. 100%,
man.
I think Cody should. I really do. I'm just. I'm so disappointed. I really am. I would like to think this was a one off. I would like to think that as well.
I would like to think he's made a wrong decision. Made a decision at that time, and it's not been something he's been doing for 2, 3, 4 years.
Yeah.
Surely not.
Yeah.
It can have been.
Yeah, I'm disappointed, but
so but
shit happens, mate. No much we can do. I need to move on to bigger
things. We'll have a new bantamweight champion,
and I hope the fuck it's no Cejudo.
So they are. I kind of get bored with that, man. They're big enough, better than as it is with him having 2 belts over his shoulders.
Oh, I know
100%, man.
See the state, that's another thing that I was thinking, right? Watched that from Saturday night, and you see Nunez having a laugh and a giggle, and she grabs a hold of Woodley, and Woodley's having a laugh, and answer offs there, and they're having a laugh. Who else did we see? We seen with Jessica Andrade, she was smiling, and then they cut to Cejudo and he's standing up with a bandana on his head, pure posing and growling. I'm like, mate, you're just a dick, man.
Yes, 100%, mate, 100%.
Anyway, right, okay. Happy for this week?
I think so, mate. I don't know if there's anything else to discuss.
Quite a week, unfortunately.
It was quite a week, quite exciting, quiet news, fun. It was kind of quiet.
Okay, mate, okay. Okay, that's us again for this week, guys. Again, get us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, at Inside Cage MMA, at Inside Cage MMA. Like it, share it. You know, do all the stuff you would normally do with podcasts if you can. If the best thing I would say is, as I say every week, is just share. I'd love to get more people to listen to it. It would really help us out. So, we'll catch you next week.